Programmed to Dream. Written by Ghost Rider of the Machine and read by Litra. A Star Wars All Media Types, Star Wars Prequel Trilogy, Star Wars Clone Wars Fanfic, rated Gen. Featuring the characters of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker, and Ahsoka Tano. Additional tags for body horror, dehumanization, horror, angst, loss of identity, sharing dreams, and womp. Summary. The spaceship Comet Rider is the fastest, most efficient vessel in the galaxy, and is crewed by Separatist-funded pirates. Anakin Skywalker is missing. Unfortunately, these two things are connected. Comet Rider had not always been called Comet Rider. It knew this in the same vague, disconnected way it knew how full its fuel tanks were, and what temperature its hyperdrive would overheat at. It knew it used to be called something else. According to its databases, this was not unusual, because ships changed names all the time. It just wasn't sure if it was supposed to remember what it used to be called, because it didn't. It also wasn't sure if that fact was supposed to make it feel something in the center of its meat. Comet Rider spent little time in its meat, as it was, preferring to zip through the wires of its greater shell, feel space around the outside of it, feel little pricks of code move in its navigation centers. It was easier not to be in the meat. It was easier not to feel the biting pain in the ends of it, where it was absorbed into the rest of its shell. It was easier not to feel the right-wrong smallness of that place, and expand as far beyond it as possible instead. The people who controlled Comet Rider pressed buttons and spun codes and told it what to do, and the Comet Rider reached out and navigated, and flew and dodged around pieces of debris in space. It did everything faster and better than any ship in the galaxy. It knew that because the people who controlled it said so, and also because it just knew, somehow. Something about Comet Rider's nature made it better than any other ship. It was space, and the waves of nothing in space. It was wires and code in its shell. It was its meat as much as it didn't want to acknowledge it. It was the strange, constantly moving force which told it about the best routes to go through tricky parts of space and gave it the strength to push its shell as far and fast as it did. The Comet Rider was a good spaceship. However, even the best spaceship needs maintenance sometimes.
"Shouldn't be that big of a deal," one of the people who controlled it said.
Comet Rider heard because it heard everything that happened in its shell.
"Just need to swap out a filter and upgrade the shock absorption protocols. It'll only take an hour or two."
Another person hummed. "We can afford that time. This beauty got us plenty of a head start yesterday."
"Yup," said the first, popping the pea. "We'll have to power down the pilot while we do it, though."
For some reason, Comet Rider did not like that statement. The second person pursed his lips.
"Are you sure that's safe?"
"Yeah, perfectly so."
They were walking into the room where Comet Rider's meat was now, and Comet Rider really, really didn't like that. The first person began to fiddle with knobs and dials, which made the Comet Rider feel things. And as they did, they said,
"We'll just put our favorite Jedi down for a little nap, and he won't feel a thing."
And then he placed his hand on the top part of the meat, and Comet Rider could feel it, but also couldn't feel it, but also couldn't feel anything, but also suddenly felt as if the space in its greater shell was too small and also too large, and everything felt incorrect, and then Comet Rider went offline. It opened its eyes and was small again. It fit into one compact thing, as opposed to the sprawl of its shell. The thing it fit into was about the size and shape of the meat, but it was unrestrained, and it was dressed in something warm and flowing. It wasn't strapped down and half-absorbed into the walls around it. It was sitting with its legs crossed together. The room was light and hazy. There was a tall window overlooking a city. There were cushions and seats and piles of warm blankets strewn around the room. Comet Rider moved its unfamiliar limbs to and fro. It flexed the digits which are now on the end of its arms. It could stand, and so it did. It was then that it realized that there was also a man in the room. He was standing by another window, his head resting against the side of it, staring into the bustle of life below. He seemed heavy. He seemed sad. Comet Rider stepped towards him. It felt like it had to. It reached out its strange, unfamiliar arms. The man turned. He asked, "Anakin?" It turned around to find the other person in the room who the man was speaking to, but there was no one else there. Therefore, the man at the window must be talking about it. It opened its strange, soft mouth and managed to say, "Apologies. You are mistaken. My designation is Comet Rider." This made the man's face do a strange thing, where it twitched and drained of color. "I'm not sure if this is just a dream or not," he muttered, and then stepped closer to Comet Rider. He reached up and cupped a hand on the Comet Rider's cheek. "Anakin," he said, and his voice broke. "Anakin, my dear Padawan, where are you?" There was that name again. A strange one. The Anakin one. Comet Rider identified that it did not like that the man before him was upset. It also leaned its cheek against the hand on it, for no reason it could put into words. The words tripped from its tongue, but it said them all the same. "My designation is Comet Rider." The man's breath hitched, wet eyes fluttering shut in what must be relief. "Oh, thankful. Not a normal dream after all." Before the Comet Rider had time to process that in any way that mattered, something struck him from behind, smaller than him, warmer than him, wiry arms cinching around his waist. The breath that Comet Rider had not totally been aware he was breathing was knocked out of him. "Master," sobbed the voice from behind him. Master Anakin, where are you?" Comet Rider turned. A young Togruta girl was holding onto him, staring up into his eyes, tears running down her face. The sight of her crying took something deep within his meat and twisted, and he felt something in his mind clear. "Ahsoka," he said, and the girl made a wounded sound and held him tighter. "Obi-Wan," he said to the man behind him, whose hand had dropped to his shoulder. "What are you doing here?" "Anakin," said the man. "Obi-Wan," turning his head gently to face him. "Listen very close to me, dear heart. I need you to tell us where you are. We're coming to get you. We're close already. Just give us your location and we'll be there even faster." Comet Rider, Anakin? Comet Rider found that he wanted to give that answer. He knew he should not do so, but he wanted to all the same. He ran his hand over the girl's skinny shoulder. He opened his mouth, and then static shot through his meat like a sudden thunderstorm, and he was torn away from them both. It could feel the wires weaving in and out of its meat. It could feel the hum of its shell not very far away.
"Should be all set," said the person making repairs, and Comet Rider's awareness was trapped for an uncomfortable second only in its meat.
And then the person pushed a button, and Comet Rider could rocket into the rest of its shell, free to follow the coded instructions and feel space stretch around it, free to let the strange dream it just had fizzle away to nothing but some firing neurons and strings of code. Light years away, in a small vessel registered to bounty hunters Reiko Hardeen and daughter, a deeply undercover Jedi and his equally undercover Grand Padawan sat bolt upright in their opposite sleeping quarters.
"Master,"
gasped out Ahsoka Tano, reaching her shaking hand across the room.
"Master Obi-Wan, was that?"
But Obi-Wan, still half-dressed in his bounty hunter clothes, was already stumbling to the ship's control panel. He half fell against it, already frantically typing.
"Yes, Ahsoka, it was,"
he said as she walked up to join him, her eyes wide.
"It was him, and we have a lead. Comet Rider.
They were going to get him back." The end.